Blog Talk Radio.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
Baby, here I am. I'm a man.
Sports fans, this is Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I am JP. Mark Demas and Nate Dogg have the day off, so I am flying solo here from our DTC South studio. We had a big weekend of sports. We have the D1 National Men's Ice Hockey Champion crowned last night in the DU Pioneers. We have the NHL playoff team set, just a couple two outcomes today, depending on what the matchups are. We have the NBA season winding down right now, 2 to 3 games left, so we're almost set to have all those playoff predictions, and it is Sunday at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia, one of my favorite times of the year. So let's pause 10 seconds right here. We're going to get right back into DU Hockey.
This is Allie from Hooters and Lone Tree, and you're listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
Thank you, Allie. So DU Pioneers won their 8th National Collegiate Division I Men's Ice Hockey title last night. That brings them to 8. 1958, 1960, 1961, 1968, 1969, 2004, 2005, and 2017 is the official total. They will be having a championship celebration free to the public over at Magnus Arena at 6 p.m. Mountain on Tuesday, the 11th of April at 6 p.m., free to the public. Let's get right into this game. DU is a talented squad. Them and UMD both come from the NCHC. They have been going at it all year. They split December 9th and 10th in Denver. Denver won the first night. UMD, which I was at, won the second night. They've been historically number one or number two all season long. DU took home some really impressive awards this year, postseason awards. Gillette got the Mike Richter Award for Best Goalie of the Year. Borgstrom got Freshman of the Year, Jim Montgomery got Coach of the Year, and Butcher got the Hobie Baker Award, which is the equivalent of the Heisman Trophy in college hockey. So we have a star-studded staff that came to here to play. We had 7 seniors apiece side on both sides, UMD and DU. DU has a little bit younger of a team. UMD has a little bit higher of an upperclassman. The first period went scoreless 0-0 with DU peppering Miska, the goalie for UMD, with 13 shots, and we put 10 shots on them, and Denver, we put 13 shots on them, they put 10 shots on us. Sorry, my voice is a little bit out of it, battling with a couple little throat problems here. Second period is DU's period, and all heck broke loose. Jarek Lucevic scored all 3 Denver goals in a span of 7 minutes, 39 seconds, and 2 of them came 17 seconds apart. And the Pioneers then held on for dear life after Minnesota Duluth closed within a goal in the third period. In the end, multiple saves by goaltender Tanner Gillette, including a wide arm stop on Riley Tuft with seconds remaining, was enough for the Pioneers to earn a 3-2 victory on Saturday and raise the National Championship Trophy. Now, DU got outshot in this game for the simple fact they lost Hammond, one of their best big defenseman, in the third period with what looked like either a broken leg or a shattered ankle. Now, this is a hockey player, guys. Didn't go to the hospital. They put an air cast on him, and he got helped onto the ice to take pictures with a trophy. Now, that's a hockey player. You show me LeBron James and his freaking cramps. Wah, wah, wah. Coming out for something like that. No, he's carried to the locker room. Boo-hoo. So, total shots on goal, UMD had 40. That's expected. The ice was tipped to one side in the DU zone for most of the third period. Penalties, UMD took two for 4 minutes. Denver took 1 for 2 minutes. Power plays, UMD was 1 for 1 on the power play. DU was 0 for 2. Like I said, all the scoring came from Lucevic. We looked at Gillette. Miska had a total of 25 saves, 3 goals against, and Tanner Gillette had 38 saves, 2 goals against in a national championship effort. Couldn't be happier than the guys. I've been covering the team all year. Plan on being at Magnus Arena for the trophy celebration and championship celebration on Tuesday. That's April 11th at 6 o'clock p.m. Free to the public. I will please, hopefully, all of you guys will go down there and take part in it. Up next, we're going to have a little bit of the NHL. Hold on.
You're listening to Sports Offensive with JP and Mark on blogtalkradio.com.
Okay, we're back. Thank you, Hillary. And right now, let's get into a little NHL action. We do have two games that are going to decide the final two pairings. Well, not the pairings, but just where the teams get placed in the playoffs. In the Eastern Conference right now, I want to mention something because the one team does involve the Toronto Maple Leafs. Austin Matthews, the leading rookie, did score his 40th goal last night, and that he is the fourth player to be a rookie in his rookie year to score 40 goals. So congratulations, Austin Matthews. He's a kid out of Arizona. He's been playing unbelievable hockey. He's one only of a couple kids that have come into the NHL in their actual rookie season and has just blown the league up. This guy's a star. He's going to be a star for years, barring injury. Now, here's the scenarios. I have to go through this just because it's a little it's not confusing. It's just a little much. When I give you my matchup previews, I'm going to be giving you as they happen today because I think the first scenario is going to happen. If they get 1 point against Columbus tonight, Ottawa, that would be Ottawa versus Toronto. That would be Atlantic 2 versus Atlantic 3, and it would be Metropolitan 1, Washington Capitals, versus the Wild Card 2, which would be the Boston Bruins. Now, if the Maple Leafs lose, that brings a whole other scenario in. It would be Atlantic 2, Ottawa versus Atlantic 3, Boston. And then Toronto would slip to the Wild Card 2 position where they'd be playing the Capitals. I will get to the Capitals in a second here. We all know their stumbles early in the playoff season. They have not made it very far, and they've gone out very early. Now let's go to the Western Conference. This is the clinch. Pacific, if they get 1 point against the Kings or Edmonton loses to Vancouver. Now, the scenario on that one would be Pacific 1 would be Anaheim versus Wild Card 1, which would be Calgary, Pacific 2 Edmonton versus Pacific 3 San Jose. Now, if Edmonton wins and the Ducks lose, the Kings, in any fashion, would get Edmonton would be Pacific 1, and the Wild Card 1 would be Calgary, Pacific 2 would be Anaheim, and the Wild Card 2 would be San Jose. Now, just keep in mind, Edmonton does hold the tiebreaker over the Ducks if they do tie together tonight. If they come out with the same points, Edmonton will be Pacific 1. Let's get you into some of the rankings here and what I believe are going to be the playoff matchups. This is how it stands today, and I think it's going to stand tonight when the day's all said and done. Let's take you to the number one team overall, the Washington Capitals. The Metropolitan Division was the best this year with 118 points. They are going to presumably match up with the Boston Bruins. The Capitals swept the Bruins this season 3-0, both games December 7th, February 1st, and February 8th. Boston scored three in all of them. Boston scored three. Washington won an OT the first time, 4-3, 5-3 the second, and then 3-1 in the last. Now let's talk about Washington for a second. We know they have a lot of firepower. We know they have a lot of goaltending. Do not have is playoff experience. Now, that's hard to say considering they've made the playoffs now for consecutive years, but they seem to bow out early in all of their playoff appearances. Now, Boston is on a little bit of a hot streak right now. They did sneak into the playoffs here right on the back end, which could cause Tuukka Rask, could cause those guys some problems. They swapped coaches with Montreal, but I do believe the Capitals do get this one overall. Let's go down to the next matchup here. We got the Pittsburgh Penguins and Columbus Blue Jackets. Pittsburgh had 111 points on the season. Fabulous season. Now, they did 2-1-1 against Columbus December 22nd, 2016. It was Pittsburgh 1, Columbus 7, so Pittsburgh got blown out. I think Sidney Crosby and Malkin were hurt that game. February 3rd, Columbus 3, Pittsburgh 4, OT. February 17th, Pittsburgh 1, Columbus 2 in OT. April 4th, Columbus 1, Pittsburgh 4. So now you see the Penguins have been hitting their stride at the end of the season, like there's no tomorrow. Let's jump up here to also want to say, last year we didn't have any Canadian teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs. This year we do have five. So Canada is going to be well represented in the Cup playoffs again this year. Last year was a dismal year for Canada being shut out. Let's go up to the matchup with, this is the one that intrigues me the most. The Montreal Canadiens, 103 points versus the New York Rangers, 100 points. This one, the Canadiens won the season series at 3-0. It was 5-4 Montreal, 3-2 Montreal in a shootout, and 4-1 Montreal. It looks like Montreal pretty much handled this, but you get the Rangers at any point in a playoff series, even though they did lose 8 straight at home, and they barely beat my Flyers last Monday to eliminate my Flyers from playoff contention. It was quite a season for the Rangers. If you're getting 100 points, it means you're playing good hockey. They got their goalie back in, so that's going to be a good one. Here's another great matchup that I'm going to love. It's an all-Canadian matchup. You got Ottawa with 98 points, Toronto with 95 points. Obviously, that's going to change tonight. Now, this was a 3-1 Senators lead. Now, you got to remember, Toronto started off strong, fizzled in the middle, and then came back really strong at the end. For the season record, Toronto 4, Ottawa 5, OT. Toronto 4, Ottawa 2, Ottawa 3, Toronto 2, shootout. And then the last time they played was February 18th. It was Ottawa 6, Toronto 3 in that game. And eliminated, like I said, the first three out were the New York Islanders, 92 points. Tampa Bay Lightning, 92 points. And the Philadelphia Flyers with 87 points. Even with a strong run at the end, the Flyers could not pull off any sort of magic. So let's jump over to the Western Conference right now. First matchup we're going to do, and I'm perceiving that the Anaheim Mighty Ducks will get the Pacific 1 nod for a seeding. 103 points on the year. Obviously, you can see that the Metropolitan Division out of the East was the basically class of the thoroughbreds here in hockey this year in the NHL. Now, they'd be playing the Calgary Flames. Now, the Ducks lead the season series at 4-1. It was 4-1 Anaheim on November 6th. It was 8-3 Calgary on December 4th. And then it was 3-1 Anaheim, 4-3 Anaheim, and 3-1 Calgary. So when you look at that matchup, it looks like a pretty solid Anaheim Mighty Ducks series for that matter, but you never know in the playoffs. Calgary is back in. They do have 94 points, not the highest point total you're going to see there. They don't have any games remaining. The Ducks do have one game. Now, here's the other wild card here, because we don't know about Edmonton. This might flip-flop tonight. We don't know. I'm going to give you my series prediction, right, or my matchup prediction. Edmonton has 101 points. They've got one game remaining. And San Jose has 99 points. Now, this was a 3-1-1. Oilers took the series. San Jose won the first one 3-2 in OT. Edmonton lost 5-3 on January 10th. Edmonton won 4-1. Edmonton won 3-2. And Edmonton won 4-2 on April 6th. So, once again, we're looking at a lot of lopsided matchups here, but once you get into Stanley Cup playoffs, the Cup is the hardest thing to win in all of sports. We all do know that. You can debate that all you want. There's no debate about it. Winning the Stanley Cups takes the most effort, the most determination, and everything else to do. Now, the matchup that I am kind of intrigued with, and you wouldn't think I was, the next two, because Chicago led the series with the Predators 4-1. It was Chicago 2, Nashville 3, Nashville 3, Chicago 5, Chicago 3, Nashville 2, Nashville 2, Chicago 5, Chicago 5, Nashville 3, and the last one was on March 4th. That series is one of those where you could look at Nashville getting very, very hot in this game, even though Chicago has the number one overall seed in the West. Nashville might give this team some fits. They're just known to do that. Let's go down to the next matchup. This is the matchup that I think everybody's kind of looking forward to. This is the Minnesota Wild versus the St. Louis Blues. Minnesota had 106 points. St. Louis had 97 points. It was 3-2 in the season series. Starting off at the beginning of the season, 3-2 St. Louis. Then it was 4-3 St. Louis in a shootout. 3-1 Minnesota, 5-1 Minnesota, and 2-1 St. Louis. So the Blues lead the series, but if Minnesota gets hot and their goaltending gets hot, this could be quite a conundrum, and this could be a seven-game. This might be the only seven-game series in the first round, quite frankly. Do not know. It's one of those things where you're looking at it, and it just really could be. So we are going to pause here real quick.
This is Allie from Hooters and Lone Tree, and you're listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket, but it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place, and then they act so surprised when I find them, but I'm like, hello? That's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. Your home is better protected when your whole community is prepared. Visit FireAdapted.org to get started. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
And we're back on the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I am JP flying solo here on our Sunday sports update. Let's get into some NBA action. We will have some action for you with the NHL playoffs starting this week and on our week on Wednesday. The NBA season is over on Wednesday. Let's get into some scores from last night. The Nets beat the Bulls, even though Jimmy Butler drops 33 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. Celtics, huge 121-114 over the Hornets. Isaiah Thomas going off for 32 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists. Pacers 127-112 all over the Magic. Paul George 37 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. The Bucks beat the 76ers. Go figure. We're not even going to look at the line score for that one. The Heat beat the Wizards 106-103. Hassan Whiteside had 30 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists. Clippers beat the Spurs. Now, mind you, we're going to our playoff spottings here. Chris Paul for the Clippers did have 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. Kawhi Leonard, who I think should be in the MVP talk right now, 28 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. The Utah Jazz lose to the Portland Trail Blazers 101-86. On the Trail Blazers, Damian Lillard had 59 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. The man went off, and the Warriors, the class of the West, 123-101 over the Pelicans. Kevin Durant, in his first game back, scores 16 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Steph Curry did not play this game. This game started out actually very, very slow. I caught a little bit of the tail end. Very slow. Kevin Durant started off really slow. I was actually surprised to see where he wound up in this. Now let's talk some Eastern Conference basketball, because it's starting to get a little bit interesting here, in my opinion. Now, right now, the Cleveland Cavaliers have a half-game lead over the Boston Celtics. Now, the Cavaliers have to play Atlanta, they have to play Miami, and they have to play Toronto. Now, right now, the Heat are still in contention for the late spot in the playoffs. Toronto is the third spot in the playoffs right now. Right now, the Cleveland Cavaliers have a tough path with one extra game to go over the Celtics. The Celtics have Brooklyn and Milwaukee. Brooklyn and Milwaukee are both out of the playoffs as we speak. Let's look at the Chicago Bulls. They were a little bit derailed last night. And right now they're 12.5 games back, but they are tied with the Heat at 12.5 back. It's going to be interesting to see what happens down the line on that one. So the Eastern Conference, right now, the Cavaliers are 5-5 in their last 10, and they've lost one. Things are getting a little iffy in Cleveland, and the Celtics are 7-3 in their last 10. So I'm looking at this battle to come down to Wednesday and see what happens right off the bat. Now, you go out west, and let's just take a peek at the Western Conference. Now, the Spurs got to within a half game, and then Golden State went down there and won for the second time since 2003 or something like that. The Warriors on a 14-game winning streak. Right now, the San Antonio Spurs are 7-3 in the last 10. They're on a one-game losing streak. The Houston Rockets are right behind them. They are 12.5 back. They are on a 6-4 run with a one-game losing streak. The Clippers have won 5. They're 8-2. The Clippers are really rallying. They're 17 back, trying to catch the Rockets. The Jazz are there at 17 back also, 6-4, lost one. Oklahoma City Thunder and Brian Westbrook, the man that's gone off, that is now averaging a triple-double. The only other person to do that is Oscar Robinson, playing lights out, outstanding. They're 20.5 games back. They're 5-5, and they lost one. You know, Oklahoma City Thunder is a Brian Westbrook team, and that is it. And the last spot is, well, the last two, the Memphis Grizzlies are are 23 games back, and the Portland Trail Blazers are 26 games back. With the Denver Nuggets not eliminated from the playoffs yet, they do have a shot at 27.5 games back. They are 5-5 and 1-1. Portland is 8-2, 1-1-2. The Denver Nuggets are going to have a hard time catching them. It'd be nice to see the Nugs get a little bit of love. We did fail to mention that the Avalanche are in absurdly last place with a very low point total for the whole year. In fact, the Washington Capitals double them up in points. The Avalanche have a lot of work to do. Don't want to jump around sports. But this race is pretty much over, except for where the seedings are going to fall for the lower half. Golden State got their game pulled around. And like I said, they are 14-0 in their last 14. It's going to be an interesting last 2 to 3 days of the week, or 2 to 3 days of the season here, to see where these teams fall. We'll have all that action coming up, Sports Offensive. Up next, we are going to have the we're going to have our finish up with some Masters coverage, tee times, and some pairings. Welcome back to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I am JP flying solo here today. I do apologize. My voice is a little crackly. It's been off, out, and on all week long. Giving you a solo sports report update here on a fantastic Sunday of sports. Closing out the NHL season. We're getting close to the end of the NBA season. We're celebrating a DU Men's Ice Hockey National Championship, their eighth. And it is Sunday at the Masters. One of the greatest days of all. I will be wrapping up with this segment, getting over to my apartment, and basically getting myself up for nonstop couch potato golf watching action. It's one of my favorite days of the year to watch golf. There's nothing like the Masters out there, and I will be sitting on my couch for the rest of the day texting people, so that's all you're going to get out of me. Okay, so let's look at the leaderboard. We got Justin Rose up there, tied at -6. He's pretty close to Sergio Garcia. This is going to be the final pairing of the day. Now, Sergio has not won a major in over 70 starts. So that's 20 years. When Tiger was winning his first, everyone thought Sergio was going to be competing with Tiger for major titles, and Sergio has yet to actually win a major, has come close many different times. You really kind of feel for him. He is my age. I'm not going to say how old I am. You can go look up his age. You have the heart spot. I picked Jason Day to win this tournament just because he had so much going on, and I thought he focused that out and put his energy into the getting around the golf course. He's at +3. Phil Mickelson's at +2. Phil did give a good run yesterday. He was at -2 most of the day, dropped back to +2, so he had a little trouble there on the back nine. I like the final pairing. I like Sergio and Justin. They're both two foreigners playing. Basically, Sergio, round one hit a 71, round two hit a 69, round three hit a 70. Justin Rose, round one hit a 71, round two 72, or 71, 72, and round three hit a 67. That's where his run came in. Now, the group right behind them, or the group right in front of them, I should say, will be, and this is a really interesting group because these two kids know each other. When I say kids, they are pretty much kids in my eyes. It's Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth. Now, Jordan Spieth was 10 strokes behind 2 days ago. 10 strokes behind. He is now -4. Here's Jordan Spieth's rounds right now. 75, 69, and 68. Jordan is coming. Now, the question is, the collapse of last year, is that still in the back of Jordan Spieth's head, or did he get it out of him when he, I think he triple bogeyed a hole yesterday? So the question is are we going to see one of those big meltdowns from Jordan, or will we see a big meltdown from Ricky? Because we've seen both players do that. Now, they might be able to tempo themselves with the whole fact that they could play really well together and get around that golf course, because Augusta National and the Masters is more about getting around the golf course and not letting the golf course get around you. Ryan Moore and Charlie Hoffman. Hoffman went out a little bit, went out early on Thursday, then came back down to earth. They're both at -4. Adam Scott and Charles Schwartzel, -3 and -2, respectively. Lee Westwood, always a contender, -1. Thomas Peters, -1. Paul Casey at even par. Kedson at even par, and Matt Kuchar at even par. We do like a lot of these. I do like a lot of these golfers. I think you could see someone at even par to -1. There is a little bit of rain expected at Augusta today. I'm not sure how much. I didn't catch the full weather report this morning. Like I said, we're going to be teeing off here. Well, the leaders are going to be teeing off here in just about an hour and 45 minutes, an hour to an hour and 45 minutes. Hour, a little bit over an hour. The 2:05 tee time is Lee Westwood and Thomas Peters. The 2:15 tee time is Adam Scott and Charles Schwartzel. The 2:25 tee time is Ryan Moore and Charlie Hoffman. The 2:35 tee time is Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth. I will be having my eye on that one at 12:35 in an hour from now. And the 2:45, Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia, two foreigners getting around Augusta National is going to be fun. That's going to be an hour and 15 minutes from now. Like I said, I will be on my seat all for the rest of the day, not doing anything except grilling out some good food, making some good dinner, and just having a Masters Sunday, just the way it was supposed to be. I'm not going to make a prediction on any of the people on the top. I will say, watch out for Lee Westwood at minus one. If he gets on a run, you never know. I will say, watch out for Adam Scott. If he gets on a run at minus three, you never know. And, of course, the top four are the top four, Jordan, Ricky, Sergio, and Justin Rose. I'm not going to put the jinx on any of those guys. I'm going to give you some guys. I just gave you some guys lower in the field right now. That's going to do it for the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. Congratulations to the DU Pioneers 2017 Men's Ice Hockey National Champions. And also, enjoy the final day of NHL action, the final 3 days, well, the final 4 days of NBA action. And sit back, relax, enjoy a Sunday, take in some golf. It is Masters 2017. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the rest of your day, everybody. Thank you to Mark Demas. Thank you to Nate for letting me do a solo show here. And I want to thank all the listeners, thesportsoffensive.com, at the Sport Offensive on Twitter, and just search the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark on Facebook. For everyone out there in Radio Land, so long, everybody, and offensive